about 12 months ago, just over 12 months ago, God began to reveal some things to me which actually changed my life. I'm only young yet, and I've got a long way to go in the Lord, but it was quite amazing what God has done. And it was so traumatic, really, for me, that first of all, I started to write another book. And when I finished that, I tore it up. I said, well, that's not exactly what I wanted to say, and that's not how it really should be. So I wrote another one, and I tore that one up too. And so in all of this, I began to stress myself over what God was showing to me. And it's very easy to do that. And it was my fault. I mean, I'm not blaming God. It wasn't his fault. It was what I was doing with what he was telling me and showing me. And so my blood pressure started to rise. And my wife, of course, being a nurse, got concerned for me. And she said, look, you're going to have to go down and see the doctor. I said, I don't need to see a doctor. And she said, but you do, you got to do something, because you'll have a heart attack or a stroke. I said, I'm not going to have anything, so don't worry. Anyway, to keep her happy, I went down to the doctor, and he took my blood pressure. It was up to 210. So he said, you know, this is in the danger area. You are really at risk. I said, yes, but it's okay, you know. He said, well, I'm going to give you some tablets anyway to see what we can do. And I want you to come back in 5 days, and if there's no big change, if there's nothing really happening, then we're going to have to get drastic and do something far, far more. Well, I went back in 5 days, and it was 120 over 70, so I said to him, that wasn't the pills that did that, so don't worry. Now, he told me I had to take them for the rest of my life, and I said, I don't think so. I haven't taken any since. But I just tell you this because it's an introduction to what I want to share with you today. I had never in my entire life even thought about what God was showing me. And it may be very much so for many of you here today. But don't worry about that. That's not an issue. The issue is to listen and hear what the Spirit is saying. And he will say it to you in a way that you will understand it. It may not be exactly with my words, but he will let you know by the Spirit what you need to know and understand. So with that little introduction, first of all, you see, it has to do with the male and female. And it transformed my marriage. Now, we've had a good marriage. We've been married for 58 years. And we've got 17 grandchildren, we've got 12 great-grandchildren, and, you know, many more coming. And, you know, at this age in life, you think, well, we've just about learned most of what we need to know about marriage. I didn't know anything about marriage. In 58 years, I hadn't learned what God really wanted to teach me. And one day I looked at my wife out there. This was only a few months ago. And a revolution took place in my life. So with that little introduction, we're going to go back to the very beginning, because I want you to see how things began. Because how they began is how God says it is to be. Not just for the beginning, but to the end. Nothing changes in the spirit world. Whatever God did in the beginning is still exactly the same today. And you need to know that. This will revolutionize your life apart from any other truth. The fact is that you were created in God in the beginning. So this is Genesis 1, verse 26. And it says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is creation, and this is the beginning of mankind. This is where we came from. That first man was Christ Jesus. You say, how do you know? Because he was the only man, or the only son God ever created. In fact, he was the only man that God ever created. The only man. Isn't it interesting that God should only create one man? That's all. He didn't create 2 or 100. Only one man. But you see, it says here, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So that means that we must be exactly as God is. Now, the first man did not have a body. You need to know that. The first man did not have a body. He was pure spirit. And that's how you were created, because you were in that man. In that first man was all of mankind, which means that whatever he was, that's what you are today.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything to become what he is, because that is what you are.
Amen.
Many people are struggling today to be something because they've got some image in their mind about what we're supposed to be. And religion, of course, will play games with you over that and have you running around in circles for years. You have to know today that you are still exactly what God created you to be in the beginning. Unfortunately, most people today see life beginning only from the point in which we were born into this world. Well, first of all, I want you to know that there's a scripture. If you're taking notes, you can just put the references down. But Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And God says to the prophet, before you were even conceived in the womb, I knew you. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Before you were even conceived in the womb, God said, I knew you. So you're not unknown to him. And you are not known by him simply from the time you were born into this world. We go right back to the very beginning. In fact, you go beyond the beginning. Because you must have been in God. All of us must have been in God when he said, let us make man. We were in him. And God is eternal. So when did we begin? I don't know. But whenever God, if he did have a beginning, that's when that would have been our beginning. But he's eternal. So we must have been always in him. So Jeremiah, I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And there are two things that he told the prophet. That before he was born, God, first of all, he set him apart for a specific purpose. He sanctified him. Did you know that you've been sanctified?
Yeah.
And not in this life as you are sitting here today, but even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Isn't it amazing? But you see, God knows the ends from the beginning. In fact, God is a very strange kind of person, because God always starts at the end and establishes what is to be the end and then works back toward the beginning. So you see, he always knows what's going to happen. There's nothing that he doesn't know. So he said, I've sanctified you. He also said, I have, well, he didn't say anointed, but he said that he had actually determined what he would do. And in that determining what he would do, God had made a decree that what he was to do would be the reality of his life, which was what happened, of course. But then, this was not just for Jeremiah. I believe every one of you, every one of you, God had a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. And if you haven't found it up till now, hey, it's not too late yet. But that plan, I believe, is the life of pure happiness, of joy and peace and satisfaction. It's all there in God. So now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man." And there's the man. So that man was very interesting when you begin to look at it. So you look at verse 27, and we're going to find out something about the man. Because it says here, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." What is the image of God? God is spirit. God is spirit. But God is more than that, because it says here, he was created in the image of God. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Not the them. God is not a them. So therefore, he could not have created him as a them. He created him as a him. But he's male and female. The reason for this, of course, is that the translators could not understand the next verse unless it was a them. Because it says in verse 28, "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply." Because they put the them in there again. It should be the him. "God said to him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." Well, the translator said, that doesn't make any sense. He's talking to a man and telling him to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, God only created one man, and so here is the assignment for all of us. Every one of us have this assignment in verse 28. To be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. I'm talking about all of us. So we need to understand what this male and female is, because it is very, very important. Man was created male and female. In our world today, of course, we have men and we have women. And we accept that as just the way it is. But when God created mankind, man was created in the image and the likeness of God. So turn to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 18. And there we discover, it's just after the book of Hebrews if you're looking for it, a little Epistle of James there. And chapter 1 verse 18, it says, "And God begat us of his own will." That means that we were brought forth out of God, but he didn't need to find a woman to help him. Why? Because God is male and female, functioning together as one. Now, in our material, physical world in which we live, of course, that's not possible. I cannot have a child in the natural without my wife. But then she cannot have a child without me either. So you see, we were dependent upon somebody else if we were to procreate. But God only created one man, and that man was told to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. And if that man didn't do what he was told, the whole purpose and will of God would have been aborted right there. That would have been the end. When God started again with a man called Abraham, or Abram, as he was then. When God started with that man, God had in his mind to begin a new race of people. And to do that, Abraham had to be able to procreate. But he had a wife that was barren. She couldn't have a child at all. So one day he said to God, he said, "You haven't given me any seed, so I'm just going to make one of my servants to become my son and heir." God said, "No, you won't. Your son and heir will come out of your own bowels." And so he goes home and he says to Sarah, "We're going to have a child." She said, "Well, you know, God, you know, he forgets about how he made women and so on." She's 86 years old at this time, and, you know, "So we're going to help God out, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you Hagar, you know, as a surrogate mother, and we'll have the child through her," which was no problem. They had the child, and Ishmael was born. So when Abram parades Ishmael before the Lord and says, "God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, you've given me my son and heir," God said, "He's not your son and heir. I told you, your son and heir was going to come out of your own bowels." Well, I don't think Abraham understood that at the time. But you see, if you go to chapter 18, this is Genesis chapter 18. There's just a little incident there that you might like to just take note of. So there are three visitors that come to visit Abraham at this time in chapter 18. And they say, one of them says to Abram, your wife is going to have a son. And of course that caused quite a lot of laughter to come from Abraham and Sarah, both of them. They are both laughing at this. I mean, she's 90 years old by this time, and he's 100. So, you know, you can just imagine, can't you? A 90-year-old woman leaning over the back fence and saying to the neighbor, "Hey, I'm pregnant." Yeah, I think that's what she did too. I think they laughed as well. But see, God had told him that he's going to have this child. So there's a question here which is very interesting, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but as we go through today, you'll begin to understand what this is about. It says in verse 9, he asks a question. He said, "Abram, where is Sarah, your wife?" Simple question. And Abram says, "She's over there in the tent." Oh. That's all he said. But I know now what he was talking about. So, you see, we have to understand that male and female belong to the spirit world. It does not belong to the physical world. But today, we've made it to belong to the physical world. You are women. You are, you women here. Okay. We've got a lot of women here. Where'd you come from? Did God create you? No. God never created you. Well, now, we've got a problem then. If God didn't create you, where did you come from? Well, you see, this is the whole story. It's we have developed in our mind a concept. And I was exactly the same. But you see, when we go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, before verse 21, it says, the Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him." And so in verse 21, Adam is put to sleep. And as he's sleeping, and this is a deep sleep, it's called a trance in the Hebrew language, but while he is unconscious, they are going to do something. And Adam is not privy to this. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He was not told or even asked permission if they could do what they wanted to do. So he is ignorant of what is happening. So as he's asleep there, the Bible says that the Lord God takes a rib out of him. Well, you can do a lot of study about the rib and so on. The word selah, it just simply means one of the rooms in the tabernacle, in the wall of the tabernacle. All I will say to you today is that it was the female part of Adam that was taken from him. It was the female part. But for 10 years and more, I have been telling people that was not literal. That was an allegory. It was not literal. It could not be literal. For two reasons. Number one, because you cannot divide spirit. And it is spirit that is male and female functioning together as one. You need to keep that definition in your mind, because that is established in the Word of God. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one. But it's in the spirit world. It is not in the material physical world that we live in today. So I have been telling people for 10 years, this is not literal. It could not be literal. Number one, because if you could divide spirit, you could divide God, but you cannot divide God. So therefore you cannot divide spirit. Secondly, you can go right through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will find there is no gender to spirit anywhere. In other words, you will never find a male spirit mentioned, nor a female spirit mentioned. So it has no gender whatsoever. Therefore, it could not be possible to take the female part of the spirit out of the man. However, when the woman is brought to Adam, here they bring the woman to Adam, he looks at her and says, "You are bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. And because you're taken out of me, I'm going to call you woman." Well, it was just simply Ishah, because you were taken out of Ish, the man. So that's what he said. But see, I know that Adam was still asleep. He's still under the deep sleep that he was put under, whatever you want to call it. You see, how do you know? You say, how do I know that he was still asleep? Because if he still had his consciousness that he had before, he would have looked at that woman and said, who are you? Where in the world did you come from? Because I know God didn't create a woman. So who are you? But he didn't say that. In fact, he aligned himself with the woman. Not the woman with him, but he aligned himself with the woman. And as a result, man became a living soul. Because the man, see, Adam was Christ. Adam was Christ. How do I know? Well, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says here, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth." Now that's a body. He's actually forming a body. You notice that the body is formed. The body was never created. Not ever. Your body today was never created. It was formed. That's a different word altogether. So the formation of your body today took place in your mother's womb. And it was the hands of your heavenly Father that brought that body together, or the parts of it. Read Psalm 139 if you want to see the whole story. So it says here, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So this man is is Christ Jesus. He's the first man. And in verse 28 of chapter 1, he's told, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He's doing what he was told. This is the divine assignment that is for every person on this earth. Everybody must birth the Christ. And if you want to know why the world is still in a mess, I think it's because we have not discovered this earlier. This year, in the ministry, which began right in the beginning of this year in the Philippines, and then in Indonesia, and then in India, and I've just come from two nations in Africa, God has just lifted the ministry onto another level. And that's not because Des Walter is more spiritual than, you know, other people. No, sir. That is because I have learned a secret in God, that I was intended to birth the Christ. This is not a physical birthing. Are you listening to me? I am not talking about a physical birthing. I'm talking about a spiritual birthing. Why do we have to birth the Christ? Because in him is all of mankind. If you look at this world today as it is, and then understand that God is building a kingdom, that all the nations and all the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ before this whole thing falls up. How is this going to happen? That every knee on the earth will bow the knee to Christ. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As we look at the world today, as we see it and know it and understand it, I can't even imagine that that could happen under the present circumstances. Who's going to bring all the nations of the earth together? Who is going to bring all these people to a point where they know Christ? Is it going to be done by preachers? I don't think so. I think there has to be something way beyond that. If you birth the Christ, you are birthing humanity. You hear that? And that's what you're intended to do. We must birth the Christ. The Apostle Paul said, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, to the church in Galatia, he said, do I have to travail again in pain until Christ is formed in you or birthed in you? So we have the ability to birth the Christ in others. Let's leave that at that just for the moment. We'll come back to that later. So I am saying to you today that if we understood who we are, that is in terms of the spirit, that we are male and female functioning together as one. But you see, that has not been our consciousness. Why? Because the male and female are not together. You see, for 10 years I've been telling people Genesis chapter 2 verse 21-22, where the woman was taken out of the man, is an allegory. It is not literal. It could not be. And one day I looked at my wife, not so long ago, and it hit me. There's Walter. You believe that the woman was taken out of you? I said, no, I've been preaching it for 10 years. He said, yes, you do. There's your wife out there. Oh, I tell you, that was quite some revelation. My wife was out there. I didn't see my wife as part of my spiritual being. I saw my wife as a woman out there. How about you? How about you people? How do you see it? You see, Genesis 1:26 says that man was created in the likeness and the image of God. God is male and female. He begat us out of himself because he is male and female, functioning together as one. So he produced Christ Jesus and all of humanity out of himself. He didn't need a woman. He's male and female. But so are we. We are male and female. We are spirit living in a body. And that spirit is male and female. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
You're not asleep yet? You're just trying to get to grips with this. Okay. So we're going to take this slowly. And listen, I don't expect everybody just to grab this here now, because it took me some time to really become comfortable in this understanding. Because I had never thought about it before. I had never thought about my spirit being male and female. I knew, of course, from the Bible, but it had never registered as a consciousness in me. I knew I was spirit, and if you'd asked me, I'd have said, yes, I'm spirit living in a body. But I had no true consciousness that that spirit was male and female. So, you see, this is opening up another complete understanding. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. And this is what the Apostle Paul chapter 2, he said, "For I am zealous over you with godly jealousy." I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So now, what is the impact upon your life if you do not understand that you are spirit, which is male and female? What is the impact upon your life? The impact is this, that every one of us, all of us here, I'll guarantee you, believe that the female was taken out of the man. Therefore, you females, you were taken out of the man. You see? Well, now, first of all, before you ladies get upset with me and, you know, you want to kind of throttle me or whatever, I want to tell you something now that will make you a little happier. When God looks at a man today, what does he see? God sees Christ, which is male and female functioning together as one. When God looks at a woman, what does he see? He sees Christ, male and female, functioning together as one. Does God see a woman? No. He sees Christ. In the old English language, the woman was called the womb man, the man with the womb. That's how she was known in England. About 100 years ago, or maybe a little more, but that's how she was known. She was the man with the womb. So the word woman came from that concept. You are still the man with the womb. So God never created a woman. God only created a man. But the man is male and female. Now, in this world, you women have had a pretty rough time. You understand? You don't need me to tell you this, do you? You've been put down in so many different ways. If you were in Africa, you will see the men, you know, and they're big, strong men. You know, he's walking down the road like this, you know. This is the man. About 12 paces behind him is his wife. She's got about half a ton of firewood on her head, and she's struggling along. You know, this is her behind. I mean, this is a, you know, shall we say, an excessive kind of concept, but that's Africa for you. The woman is just so much goods and chattels, that's all. Her value is only in what she can do to help that man. But see now, it's not just the culture that has put you women down. The church has put the women down too. There's a woman that contacted me in Australia recently, and she was from Indonesia, but she's been in Australia for a few years now. And she had been to the pastor and said to him, "I want you to help me. My husband has been beating me for 10 years. And she said, "I've been abused in every way for 10 years. Will you help me?" He said, "You are to become obedient to your husband. That's all." Sent her away. So I'm telling you, you see, the church teaches you that even in your marriage ceremony, you love and obey. Why? Because the wife is to obey the husband. The husband's the head of the house. I want to tell you, in every way, you women have been degraded.
Yes.
And then, of course, I have so many questions. People come to me, women come to me. Brother, is it? Do you think it's wrong for a woman to have, you know, a ministry? I said, no, why? Well, because the Apostle Paul said, "I don't suffer a woman to preach." I said, for goodness sake, you know, wherever you read the word woman, even in the New Testament, it's talking about the living soul. It's not talking about a sex. It's not talking about a female person. It's talking about the living soul. Because everybody became that woman in the Garden of Eden. Everybody. Male and female. We all became that woman that was taken out of the man. So you see, the whole concept of the woman has been really, see, the woman was the one that took the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So those women, I mean, you know, they've given us a bad time. I mean, you know, God's angry with us now because it was the woman that went and messed it up. She was the one, Paul said, she was the one in the transgression. She took the fruit. But Adam made it, of course, with her as well. But he didn't eat that fruit in rebellion against God. And God never mentioned the word sin in his interrogation of Adam. And so on, you see. But you women have really had a hard time. And if you ever understand this, I want to tell you, my wife changed overnight. My wife has, she was the last girl in the family. And there were four girls. Her eldest sister, the eldest sister, was 21 years older than her. She was not raised by her parents, she was raised by the sisters, who all had different ideas, and they made her do this, and they made her do that, and something else, because they had ideas, you know. And so she grew up, and it has been a battle for me. I mean, you know, even when if we'd be walking, even in the shops, you know, I'd say, "Hey, come on, up here. I don't want you walking here. I want you walking up here with me." "Oh, okay. You know, she'd walk with me a bit, didn't she?" I tell you, she's changed. Why? Because suddenly, I had to put her back where she belonged. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your body is the members of Christ. The word members there simply means the different parts of your body, arms and legs and so on. They all belong to the Christ. So he says, shall I then take the members of Christ, that is your body, and make them the members of a harlot? Now this is interesting because Paul is using strong language here, but I want you to hear it and understand it as God wants you to. It says here, what know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says here, shall become one flesh. Well, this is the same as Genesis 2, verse 24. God says, for this cause will a man leave his father and mother and will cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's the best you're going to get out of your marriage. That's the best you'll get out of your marriage. And we've had a good marriage. I mean, we really have. We didn't have much in the way of conflict of any kind. We've had a good marriage. But I'm telling you today, it's something else. Why? Because my wife that was out there has now become the wife that's in here. And we are no longer one flesh. Listen to this. But he that's joined to the Lord, verse 17, is one spirit. Did you know that your wife is the bride of Christ? Did you know that your wife is the female that is joined to the Christ, and that you are one flesh? Remember, we all became the woman. All of us. Not just the one woman in the Garden of Eden, but all. And not just you women, but us men. We all became the woman. And here we are. We have been trying to manifest Christ in our life, but we couldn't do it. Why? Because half of the Christ is walking out there. Half of the Christ was on the outside here. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry. If you don't just grab this straight off, don't worry. Because I tell you, God's going to give it to you eventually. And I did not grab this straight away. It was...
Yes.
It was something.
The senses will not allow us to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, what was it?
The senses, the five senses.
Yeah.
That we've depended on all of our lives will not let us see what you're teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be a spiritual revelation.
Oh, of course. That's what I'm saying. This has got to be the spirit that's going to change things for you. It's certainly not physical. It's not physical at all. But so he says, flee fornication. Now, you have to understand that when Paul is talking, he's not saying that your marriage to a woman out there is like, turns her into a harlot. That's not exactly what he's saying. What he is saying is that we go out, you know, like the Bible says, for this cause a man would leave his father and mother and go out to look for a wife. And then he'd get that wife and bring her, and he would marry her, you see? But hey, wait a minute. God already put your wife in here. You've already got your wife in here. So what are you doing running around trying to get a wife to get married out here? Are you hearing this? Oh, Lord, help us today. This is serious. I mean, you know, I understand that this is not easy for the natural mind even to understand, but I think that God is able to overcome all of those things. And if you really are interested and you want to know the truth, then you will know it. So we are male and female. That's how we were created. The truth is that the woman was never taken out of the man. That is the truth. But in our consciousness, it's like I said to you, I've been preaching for 10 years that what happened in Genesis 2, 21, 22 about the woman being taken out of the man, I kept on preaching. It's not literal. It cannot be literal. It's impossible. And yet that day when I looked at my wife out there, oh God, I had to confess. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. How can I do this? How can I be preaching this and believing something else? Oh, that's the carnal mind.
Yes, it is.
It's been messed up by the serpent, I tell you. So today, God is teaching us some things. There's a lot more to the story yet, but the truth is that God wants us to become fruitful, because multiplication or procreating is an essential part of God's purpose for every one of us. It's necessary. As I said, if Abraham had not been able to produce that child, I mean, his wife's 90 years of age, the machinery probably for as far as childbirth was concerned, but then you say, but yeah, God could do a miracle. Of course he could do a miracle. But see, he told Abram it would come out of his bowels, which means that the conception took place in Adam, in Abraham. That's where the conception took place. And of course, Isaac was Christ. Well, it was a manifestation of Christ, let's put it that way, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And he was also the son of David at the same time. He's the son of David, and he was the son of Abraham. So, the birthing of the Christ, I believe, is perhaps the missing link in terms of our understanding of who we are and of our function as the Christ of God. Because while we do not understand this, and while we have our wife simply out there, the Christ cannot function in here, because the Christ is male and female functioning together as one. And unless that Christ is complete, because even in our consciousness we are robbing God of that ability to be able to do through us what he wants, which is to birth the Christ. Do you realize that Jesus Christ could have just stepped into this world? He could have just stepped into this world, just appeared one day and said, I'm here. But that wasn't what God intended. He had to be birthed onto this earth. And to do that, he used a little girl, a girl who was not married. She was a virgin. She'd never had any relationship with a man. And the angel said, well, let's turn, because this is important. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 26. It was in the sixth month that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So, you see, he belonged to the king's house. And that was the connection, and she obviously was to marry that man, which she did, of course, in the end, anyway. So he belonged to the king's house, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said to her, Hail, thou art highly favored. I would have to tell you, folks, here today, that God is saying to you, you are highly favored. Why? Because God is going to reveal something to you which will be such a blessing in your life. It will transform your own life, and it will allow you to birth the Christ. And remember, in that Christ is all of humanity. And that is not a physical birthing, that is a spiritual birthing, the Christ. You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Remember, we all, men and women, we all became that woman in the garden. Remember that God never recognized the woman in the Garden of Eden. In chapter 5, it says there in verse 2 that God called them Adam, not Adam and Eve. He never recognized. Why? Because God never created a woman. He never created a woman. So this is very interesting. You see, the difference between the man and the woman is purely physical. It's purely physical. I guess because of the way in which we have divided the roles of man and wife and so on, that, you know, maybe the man has become more masculine because he, you know, he was the one to do the hard work and whatever, but the women were there to do whatever they had to do. But you see, it doesn't matter anyway, because we all became the woman from God's point of view. And yet when he looks at us, either the man or the woman, it doesn't matter, he sees Christ. That's who you are. So we are all Christ, but we don't know it. We have become the living soul. Well, what is this living soul? How does it function? Well, the living soul is somebody who is living under the control of the carnal mind, whose body is subject to that carnal mind. Therefore, sickness, pain, suffering, and death are all part of our body experience because of the carnal mind. I want you to know that there is no sickness on this earth that has any reality whatsoever. Not cancer, not nothing. I've had enough experience in seeing people released and set free to know that I've never had to fight with cancer, I've never had to fight with any of the other diseases that have gone on. There was a lady just recently in Africa who had suffered, a Christian lady, she had suffered, her husband was a pastor, and she suffered from TB, tuberculosis. I said, surely not. You mean to say that your wife has suffered this many years? But God took it off of that day. God just lifted it off her. You see, if you want to know the truth, I will tell you, all sickness originates in the carnal mind. And that mind is so powerful, it can play all kinds of tricks with you. But that's the truth, from my point of view. You can argue with me if you want, I don't care. All I know is that I have lifted all kinds of diseases off people, and I've never had to fight with anything. I never even think about the disease, because it doesn't mean a thing to me. It's just part of the carnal mind. But the living soul is somebody that is living under that. If anybody here is having a continuous run of sickness or, you know, some disability in your body, I want to tell you, you can get rid of that simply by denying this carnal mind. And as the Spirit of God comes upon you, he will set you free from that carnal mind. And if he sets you free from the carnal mind, then the mind of the Christ will begin to function. Who thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God? Why? Because I am male and female functioning together as one. That's what God is. And I was created in his image and likeness. Amen. That means that God has already built into me his character, and his nature has been built into me. It means that if you want to sin, if you want to use that word, if you want to sin, then you have to violate the very character of God that's been built into you. So, the mind, the carnal mind, controlling the body, This is what the living soul is. So that it cannot do the will of God. Why? Because it has its own authority. Not the authority of the Christ in here, but the authority of the carnal mind, which is the serpent of the Garden of Eden. And that serpent, of course, simply messed up the mind of Eve. You will notice that when Eve was so-called taken out of the man, when she was taken out of the man, she had nothing to do with Adam. She didn't go and said, well, you know, I'm pleased to meet you. I mean, you're like my husband or whatever. No, she didn't have any conversation with him. She never had anything to do with him. She immediately goes off to chart her own life. And that's what the living soul has done. The living soul has just said, hey, I'm on this earth. I'm going to make the best of it I can. And away they go. And that's what the carnal mind does. It just says, You've got a mind, you can think, you can make decisions. I mean, come on. There's nothing you can't do. And so away we go. And then one day, God pulls us up and says, well, now, just a minute. You know, I've got a calling upon your life. I have a right, really, over your life. And so we're following. We tend to follow. So here's the angel talking to this girl now. It says, you're highly favored. When she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. And I want to tell you this morning, do not be afraid of what God may be doing in you. Don't be afraid, because I'll tell you, God can only bless you. That's all he wants to do. He has no other will or purpose in his life than to bless you and to make you to be blessed on the earth. So it says here, you have found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Hello. Mm-hmm. This is, he's talking to you. You're all the virgin. You're all the virgin. Come on. You have never brought forth what God is requiring. You may have had children, but see, here's the problem. In James chapter 1, verse 18, it says, of his own will God begat us. But the rest of the verse says, that we might be the God kind of people. Which is aligning ourselves with the first fruit. Well, who's the first fruit? That's the first man. He is the first fruit. Whatever he is, that's what we are. That's what we are in God. So, many Christian families today, the children are not following in the steps of their parents. They are not following the things of God. They're out there in the world. Sometimes they're getting mixed up with drugs and all kinds of things. You see? So is this what God intended? Well, let's say a little further. You see, here's Adam. He's outside the garden now. And he and his wife make up their mind they want to have a child. So they have a child. And his name is Cain. And then they have another child whose name is Abel. But then one day, Cain gets up in the field and kills his brother. Is this what God intended? He said, be fruitful and fill the earth. Did he intend to be filled with those kind of people? I don't think so. So, what's happened? Well, we just have our children, you know. I mean, we had five children, and they've grown up. We've been blessed with... you know, they've all married in the Lord and so on. But, you know, we've not done what God wanted to do. He wanted us to be fruitful and multiply and bring forth according to the first fruit. That is, according to the first man. Well, you cannot do that unless you're going to birth the Christ. You cannot. Because we're not talking about an egg and a sperm. We're not talking about a man and a woman coming together to procreate. We are talking about birthing by the Spirit, which is male and female functioning together as one, doing the will and the purpose of God. Now, you may not be able to come up with any kind of picture in your mind as to how this works. Don't worry about that, because I want to tell you, this is a spiritual thing, and therefore you will not control it. It will be the Spirit that will control this. And the Spirit will do in you what he wants to do. And the birthing of the Christ is not like having having a child in the natural here in this world. No. But you see, the birthing of the Christ means that we are going to see that Christ birthed for our generation. You see, Mary birthed the Christ that brought him to the earth. And we must do the same. As I said, in the first place, Jesus Christ could have just stepped out of the spirit world into this world very easily. But no, that wasn't the way. He had to be birthed into this earth. And that's what he's still wanting to do, the same thing today. He's wanting to be birthed into this world. And when we birth him, we are going to see then this transformation taking place in the lives of many, many, many people. Just think what would have happened if that virgin had not been available to the Lord, had not done what he wanted her to do. There would have been no Christ. There would have been no redemption. There would have been no salvation. And I tend to feel today that we are in a similar situation today. You remember Ahaz? You can turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 7. In verse 10 it says, the Lord spoke to Ahaz the king, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the height, in the depth, in the height above. And Ahaz said, I'll not even tempt the Lord. And so Isaiah said, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. You can read a lot of ideas about this as to whether that was referring to the virgin birth or whatever, but I believe that was the sign that God has given to the world. A virgin shall conceive. But when it talks about the virgin, it's not just talking about Mary 2,000 years ago. I believe it's talking about us today. Because if that Christ is not being birthed on the earth, then we will never see the kingdom of God established on the earth. I believe that with all of my heart, from what I have seen already. And as we birth the Christ, it's going to lift us up into another dimension. It's going to bless you in a way that you would never have known before. And God wants to do that for you today. And so we have the Spirit of God that is moving here with us. Let's go back to Genesis again. Let's turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter 1. And here's the cry of the woman. She's a Shulamite here, but this is an amazing story. It's one of the greatest love stories that's ever been written. But listen to this. In verse 2 it says, "Let him kiss me."
Yes.
You see, that's making a contact. That is something that you can feel, you can know, you can experience. Let him kiss me. Now, when we start to talk about these things in a spiritual context, it's like we think, oh no, surely, you know, we can't use our own simple concepts in a spiritual way. Oh yes, we can. We're not talking about kissing as we would today in the natural. We're talking about having a contact with the Father. And he loves you.
Yes.
He loves you. And this is the woman. She's searching. Who fought for her lover? I believe that every woman who's become a wife is searching today. But even the men are also searching, because we all became the woman. To know the Christ, to know God, is such an essential thing. And this relationship is a love relationship. So it says here, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine, because of the savour of thy good fragrance. Thy name is like an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." See? She's looking for a husband. She's looking for love. And I'm saying today, I don't know about you, but I've always been looking for love in my life.
Amen.
I've always been looking for love, because I always knew that God's love was superior to any other kind of love that we could ever have.
Right.
And so every time God touched my life, that was a great blessing to me. So it says here, "Draw me. Draw me. Drag me if you have to, Lord," because I might stop, you see. So if I'm giving you the right, drag me, because we will run after thee, and the king hath brought me into his chambers. That's the conception chamber. That's the conception chamber. And in the conception chamber is where you make love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not talking physically here.
Right.
We are talking spiritually. And I want to tell you, this is as high as the heavens are above the earth, is above, you know, the earthly concepts that sometimes go with this. You see, we're talking about a love relationship that is designed to produce the Christ of God. And she says, "Draw me." And the king has brought me into his chambers. "We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Oh God. When you make love with him.
Yes.
And really, this is what we are talking about. When the female and the male of the spirit are joined together, then they make love. And they will not just make love, but there will be something produced.
Amen.
And what is that? That is the Christ.
That's right.
Amen. That's what it is. I don't think Mary had any problems. She was probably thinking, well, hey, come on, you know, first of all, in Israel, the law was that if a woman was pregnant outside of marriage, they took her out in the field and they would stone her to death. So she was probably worried about that to start with. And the angel said, "Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Because God's going to take care of you."
Amen.
And so she went through that pregnancy, and of course she birthed that Christ. But just like Abraham and Sarah birthed that Christ too. And so it says here, "We will be glad and rejoice in thee." and remember thy love more than wine. This is true marriage. This is the marriage that brings us into relationship with the Christ, whereby we become one spirit. One spirit, not one flesh, one spirit. So today, this is very important. If you turn now to chapter 4, and verse 12, it says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. So you see, this is the lover of our soul who's speaking here and saying, garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. And in this garden, all the trees and all of the bushes are aromatic, which means that they all have a beautiful perfume. You see, this is a spiritual thing. So it's lifting us up out of those natural concepts. And he says, all of these things are so wonderful because you're my lover. You're my lover, my sister, my spouse. That's the wife. You are the wife of the Christ. You're not just the wife of a man. You're the wife of the Christ. Oh, Lord, help us today. There are concepts which defy us in our natural mind to get, you know, understanding in the natural. It's only by the Spirit that we can really understand this. He said, the plants are an orchard of pomegranates and so on. And he says in verse 15, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. This is the garden. In other words, I believe that the Garden of Eden is in every one of us. You've all got that Garden of Eden in you. And it's there as the place where God says, I'll meet you there every day. Every day. And when you meet him there, you will walk with him and you will talk with him in unity and oneness. Not, you know, here's God walking here and here's you walking over here. No, no, no. This is one. Everything is in oneness in the spirit world. It's all in unity and oneness. The male and female are not separated in the spirit. They're not defined. That's just male and female functioning together as one. This is Jesus Christ in John 10 verse 30, who said, I and my Father, the male and the female, are one. Come on. This is reality. This is reality. We are one. So, you see, in the spiritual realm, we're not two separate people. See, people talk about, you know, God and me. There is no God in me. There's only God. That's all. Because we came out of him, and we are what he is. So therefore, it's not God and me at all. It's just God. Today, this has been a big step, perhaps in your understanding. And I understand that. And there's a lot more to the story, really. But I have just tried to lay a foundation here this morning so that you will begin to see that God wants to lift us out of our humanity, out of a world where, you know, we have set roles because you're a woman, I'm a man, and, you know, we have set roles for how we are to function and so on. But when we become the Christ, we are unified. And I believe that that means that we are here, one family today, that God wants us to become that one family in the reality of who we are. And that doesn't mean to say that, you know, we lose our sense of individualism, but it means that individualism is not going to rob us of the concept of our unity and oneness in Christ himself. because that's who we are. We are the Christ. And you see, the Christ of God, he walked this earth for 2,000 years ago. He walked this earth, healing the sick, making the blind to see, making the lame to walk, doing all of these things. And of course he said, the things that I do, you can do also. But we've never done them. Why? Because we never thought we could do it. Because we didn't know who we are. And if you don't know who you are, then you'll never be able to do it. But you are the Christ. Everybody, every one of you, you are the Christ. Because the first man that God created was Christ Jesus. And all of mankind was in him. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, what does Paul say? He said, your body is the workmanship of God. He put your body together. But he said, you were created in Christ Jesus. You were created in Christ Jesus. And if you were created in Christ, then that's who you are. You cannot be anything else but the Christ, which is male and female functioning together as one. So today, hide this in your heart. If you don't understand it, fine, don't let it bother you. I didn't come here to say you had to, you know, agree with me or you had to believe everything I tell you. I want you to listen to the voice of the Spirit and let him teach you. And when this truth comes to you, you will find that you have been united with the lover of your soul, who has always loved you with an everlasting love, who has wanted the very best for you, but was not always perhaps able to give it to us. We weren't ready to receive everything from him. But today, God says, I love you. You are mine. And together, when we find our unity together, then we're going to walk together in fellowship, in love and harmony, and the blessing of God will be in our lives. But beyond this, we will birth the Christ for our generation. And I believe that that is perhaps the most important thing for us today. As I travel in these different countries, I tell you, my heart aches to see some of the terrible things. I mean, for instance, AIDS in Africa. They're just decimating the country. Still, it's not getting better, because the women that have AIDS are still having children, and all the children are being born with AIDS. And there are people today, I've had some of them come to me and ask me, can God do anything about AIDS? I said, what do you want him to do? Can he take it away? I said, of course. It doesn't exist in the spirit realm at all. Therefore, it does not exist. So God can just take that off them too. But I am believing in Africa that the day will come when we can destroy the very germ, whatever it is that causes the AIDS thing, you know, in the carnal realm, whatever that thing is, that thing will be destroyed, and that will finish it forever. And God will do that, I believe. Yes. So may God bless you and encourage you, and help you to know and understand what he wants you to know today. God bless you. Amen.